Hello, everyone, and welcome to Food Safety Matters, the podcast for food safety professionals. I'm Stacey Acheson, publisher of Food Safety Magazine, and I want to thank you for joining us for another special bonus episode. Today, we'll be discussing next-generation sequencing and the advantages of using 16S metagenomics to identify spoilage organisms in your facility, thereby reducing the possibility of spoil products reaching your consumers. You'll learn about a 16S metagenomics service and how to join the 16S challenge that lets you take advantage of the Advanced Microbial Mapping Program for a chance to get your facility biomapped at no charge. To help us explore this new technology and service, our editorial director, Barbara Van Renterham, will be speaking with Joe Heinzelman, who specializes in food safety genomics at Neogen. Joe began his career as a nanotechnology chemist after graduating from Albion College with a bachelor's degree in chemistry and with an MBA from Northwood University. Joe tells us more about the practical applications of metagenomics in eliminating spoilage organisms in a food processing facility.
Well, Joe, it's great to have you on the podcast today.
Barbara, it's always a pleasure. I really enjoyed the first time we did this and looking forward to our discussion today.
Sounds great. Well, let's get started. So given the promise of next-generation sequencing for use in the food industry, I was wondering if you could start us off by recapping what 16S metagenomics is.
Yeah, absolutely. So 16S metagenomics is a technique within next-generation sequencing that we are using to identify all of the bacteria in various sample types. So what we're doing is we're having companies send in environmental swabs and finished products and raw materials, and we're able to generate a profile of all the bacteria within those samples without generating any type of bias or enriching. We're just able to take all those bacteria off, sequence everything, and generate meaningful reports that provide what we call a microbiome.
That sounds a little scary to get that list of what's existing in a facility. Have you had any shocking results that people didn't anticipate?
I wouldn't say shocking in a bad way. What we've done actually, because of a lot of the agency attention around next generation sequencing and whole genome sequencing, is we actually turn off the identifiers for Salmonella and Listeria as this technology is evolving. Companies can go in and generate a full profile and understand what kind of how microorganisms are moving and changing within their facility. And that's with those Salmonella and Listeria identifiers turned off, they can rely on their traditional food safety controls and systems to produce safe food, but also gain an understanding of what's going on and from the microbiological profile aspect.
I mean, as a scientist, that sounds really fascinating, because one of the criticisms I always hear when a company looks at a particular organism is they're only looking at a single organism and how it's affecting a food product, when in reality, a single species doesn't exist, you know, in nature. It's always a population of a lot of different bacteria and viruses and all kinds of other creatures. So that's really important work that this is uncovering. Now, you mentioned whole genome sequencing. How does the 16S metagenomics differ from whole genome sequencing?
So with whole genome sequencing, what people are trying to do with whole genome sequencing is generate the entire genomic identifier of one microorganism and using that to compare it against a database of others, or within their own data set. With 16S metagenomics and other metagenomic applications, you're looking more broadly in terms of what is there, what's present, and how is that changing, as opposed to one single microorganism and identifying that. So what I kind of like to tell people is, instead of going a mile deep on one microorganism, we're looking more broadly across all the microorganisms in a sample.
When you're taking these samples, are you pooling the samples so you can look at the biome across the entire facility, or can you actually segment the facility in different areas and look at population niches across the plant, for example?
Oh, that's a great question. And what we're doing is we are taking different swabs at various locations within a process. And we're trying to do that intentionally based on what somebody might know about their current process. And, you know, if it's an extrusion process, we'll take it before and after. And as the temperature decreases, watch the microorganism profiles mm-hmm. change as the temperature decreases. Mm-hmm. That's one example. So we are generating like beginning to end microbiological profiles of a facility. And we're able to watch bacteria communities change as it goes through the process.
Oh, that's really great information that you're able to gather. Are there particular types of facilities that benefit most from implementing this type of technology?
For biomapping, what we're seeing is that it's not really one that's better than the other, because everyone relies on cleaning and sanitation. And there's various different processes where anything with a refrigerated product or a product with a shorter shelf life are particularly interesting because of the challenges bacteria present in those examples. And that's mm-hmm. where we've seen a lot of value being generated and understanding how microorganisms change within the process.
So, the technology that you're using, how does that differ from other alternatives that are currently on the market?
You know, what we're seeing is that traditional technologies and total plate count and ATP are really important for how we see routine verification activities around, let's say, sanitation. Mm-hmm. What those do is they have their own kind of niche within a food safety program. What 16S metagenomics and microbiome research really does is provide a much broader picture. So even with something, as you kind of think about total aerobic count or a total plate count, that's only a fraction of what would actually be in a processing facility. So there's mm-hmm. a lot of other bacteria that are there and present and contribute to how things change over time. And as you use these new technologies, we're beginning to see how they interact with the other microorganism and how they're changing and affecting products as they go through the production process.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, you're not just identifying pathogens, but also kind of the benign resident organisms as well as spoilage organisms. So some that are more relevant to food safety than others, is that an accurate assessment?
Yeah, that's completely accurate. I mean, but what we are seeing is changes in, you know, Janibacterium and Kurthia and all these other weird microorganisms that don't necessarily come through on routine diagnostics, and how they're changing within a process and how that's affecting the finished goods. And so, yeah, one example is looking for particular types of spoilage bacteria that are contributing to a shorter shelf life, for example.
I think it would be fascinating to look at the changes in those other kind of oddball organisms and see how they affect the overall numbers of, say, a spoilage organism or a pathogen. Have you seen some surprising results in that respect?
I think what we're seeing, I can generally say across a lot of the different sample sets we've been running, is that we're surprised by the complexity and the changes within bacterial communities mm-hmm. that we're seeing. And they're telling these really complex stories around the activities and the contextual information of where these samples are coming from. And people are leveraging that into better practices and better understandings of what they can do to fix whatever problem the microbiome studies are doing. So I think we were just, you know, to summarize that, it's just that we're seeing a lot of microbial complexity that I didn't necessarily anticipate seeing in a lot of different production facilities.
Mm-hmm. So companies that are implementing your technology, do you help them interpret the really complex data that they're able to generate?
We have been. You know, there's not a whole lot of microbial ecologists around. And so what we rely on is a lot of the statistical outputs. So we're trying to capture information and we feed that into our programs. And then we do things like alpha and beta diversity and principal coordinate analysis. And these are helping us dissect these complex data sets and to point out key trends within, you know, samples and bacteria and which ones are related and which ones we kind of can ignore and where we need to focus on moving forward. All that is kind of being leveraged against and put through this lens of these advanced statistical techniques.
Well, that's great. So using this technology within next generation sequencing, what has it taught us so far?
You know, I think I'd probably just kind of come back to that, this idea that this microbial complexity really exists within the environment. And we don't have a complete understanding today around, let's say, how sanitation practices and different changes in the environment affect these types of microbial communities and the impact that has on food quality and food safety.
That's interesting. I'm going to be curious to see, you know, as you learn more about the interactions between populations of organisms, what that can teach us and the impact on food safety. Let's shift gears a little bit. We had talked earlier about the Alliance for Advanced Sanitation and how that fits into what you're doing at Neogen. Can you tell us about this group?
Yes, absolutely. So it's actually a pretty easy transition, I think. The Alliance for Advanced Sanitation is a group out of the University of Nebraska in Lincoln, and that they're at the Food Processing Center at the Innovation Campus there. And the reason I kind of wanted to talk about their group and their activities is we've partnered up with the Alliance to do microbiome research around sanitation practices and sanitation events. So we've just kicked off recruitment for a very large study, let's say over 10 weeks, to do microbiome research and samples to understand how these bacterial communities are changing, shifting, and how we can use that to do things like periodic infrastructure cleaning and periodic environmental cleaning.
That's interesting. How did the Alliance first become interested in metagenomics?
Well, because so many types of food products and food production practices rely on sanitation as a key element of the food safety and food quality program. Mm-hmm. When we started talking to them, we thought metagenomics would be a great way to really understand how these bacteria communities are changing and how they're affected by sanitation. And so that's kind of how we started to structure this research proposal. And then we went through a couple different iterations. And now I think we've got a pretty good plan to take samples over time and understand how that impacts food sanitation and how what we can do in the sanitation environment to improve upon that.
It sounds like this would be a great technology to fit into an environmental monitoring program as well.
Yeah, exactly. I think when you look at what type of information would be obtained through 16S metagenomics and looking at that over time, you know, you can envision being able to do this on a routine basis and getting into some type of predictive analytics around bacterial profiles and being able to see something change within a bacterial community and take preventive action on that before some type of food quality or food safety issue actually came about.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, I've heard a little bit about the 16S metagenomics challenge, but for our listeners today, if you could describe what this is and what a food plant might be able to do.
So what we're doing with the 16S metagenomics challenge is we're asking people to submit like a really abbreviated application. And what we're going to do is collect a whole bunch of applications, hopefully, and pick a couple of them to do some free metagenomics work. We're going to do some biomapping of facilities because we think this will help uncover some of the opportunities within 16S metagenomics and what we can do with this type of technology, but also ways to improve food quality and food safety by better understanding production environments and the bacterial profiles that exist within those facilities.
Now, where can people go to get information on this and submit their proposal?
So we will have the URL in the description of the podcast and the website. But if you go to Neogen's website and go to our metagenomics page, you'll be able to get there very easily.
Great. So we'll have that in our show notes for anyone who's interested. At the end of the day, what do you hope companies will be able to do with all of this data? And what information do you hope that they will be able to gather by doing this biomapping?
Well, ultimately, it's about improving food safety and food quality. And whether we do that through our understanding of bacteria communities and profiles as it pertains to sanitation or raw materials or best practices within a production environment, we're really trying to leverage this technology into helping people understand what's in their facility, what can they do to control it, and use that to produce safer and higher quality food.
Do you see other applications on the horizon for the 16S metagenomics?
Yes, there's a lot. You know, we could probably do a couple more podcasts just on the other applications. I think one of the really interesting ones is we've been doing some research on, you know, let's say different types of formulations and packaging, and looking at food products and how the bacteria within that food changes over time.
Oh, I love that. I love the formulation idea. That seems to be a stumbling block for a lot of companies when they start, I don't want to say messing with, but when they start altering the salt levels, for example, in a product, or, you know, because it will directly affect shelf life and also spoilage and allow certain bacteria to grow and not suppress others. So, when you get more information on the formulation idea, I'd love to have you back and talk about that. That would be great.
Absolutely.
So, Joe, as we wrap up today, if you had, you know, one takeaway from your podcast today that you would want our listeners to understand, what would that be?
It would be that to get into metagenomics and sequencing is really going to be a lot easier than I think people really understand. How we've been able to consult with people and help them understand where to test and what it means and talk them through that process is a lot easier than I think some people might think of today. And I hope that they take part of this 16S metagenomics challenge to start to uncover the type of information that they can begin to glean from next generation sequencing and metagenomics.
That's terrific. I think that the information that will come forth from this technology is really interesting. Thanks very much, Joe, for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
I'd like to thank our guest, Joe Heinzelman from Neogen, for offering this deeper look into this fascinating new technology. For more information about next-gen sequencing and the 16S challenge and how to get your facility biomapped for spoilage organisms at no charge, visit the show notes page in your podcast player or the episode page on our website at foodsafetymagazine.com/podcast/16S-challenge. We hope you enjoyed this special episode of Food Safety Matters. We'll talk to you soon.